Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys, part two. Oh, hello, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm just speaking at the moment, David. Sorry. Part two of our Stardust special.
Are you talking to me or in that to the listeners?
I was trying to do both, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's part and parcel of the address of a podcast, isn't it?
I think it's gone really well,
yeah,
pretty smooth.
Let's get into it.
So let's get into part two of, as I say, the Stardust special.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
So I'm a member of the. I'm just someone who's meets you somewhere, bumps into you, and says, "Hello, are you David Baddiel? I'm not a massive fan of, you know, it's no big deal. I don't particularly enjoy your comedy or the books you write."
It sounds like quite a difficult conversation so far.
No, it's going to get good in a minute.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the comedy or the books. And
or anything you've done.
Or I don't really like you on Twitter. I find that.
I mean, the Holocaust documentary wasn't for me. I personally didn't believe it happened. You mean that kind of conversation?
But nonetheless.
One of my cats has turned up, by the way.
Oh.
Pip.
Hello, Pip. Oh, Pip is, of course, the hero of my favourite book.
Great Expectations, yeah.
But what I do want to ask you, David, notwithstanding all of those issues I have with you or what you do, is should I watch Stardust?
Oh, why did you need to say all those negative things about my work to ask me that question?
I don't know.
It seems a bit odd. It's almost as if you just wanted to say some quite negative things about me and then ask me a non-sequitur question.
No, I think it was more, I was enjoying role-playing. I was trying to work out what sort of who I'd be.
Right.
One of those annoying people that comes up to you and says sort of passive-aggressive.
Was there meant to be a connection of, like, I'm someone who doesn't like you and I don't really value your judgment, so now I'm going to ask you if I should watch Stardust and I'll probably watch it if you say it's shit? Or was it just that you took the opportunity in your improvisation to say some negative things?
I think you're looking too deeply. I think I was thinking, if a member of the public came up to you, and then in my mind, I was remembering a few times you've said quite often, or maybe you've said it on Twitter, quite often people will say something nice or you know, are interested in you, but they will often sort of say, oh, by the way, I'm not a fan of this bit of you.
Oh, yeah. Or alternatively, they might want to say something nice, but they'll say it by saying, I'm not really a fan, but I did like that thing that you've just said or done or whatever.
So
yeah, and actually, I'll tell you for a long time, what I always knew when I saw a sort of old Jewish person or old Jewish couple coming towards me, I always knew that they were going to say, not by necessarily saying I hated everything, but with a slight sense of, I tell you what I did like, right? Meaning I didn't like anything else. Who do you think you are? It would always be that. Now it might be the Holocaust denial documentary, but certainly for years it was, oh yes, now that I did like that.
Right. I think, because as you know, in this podcast, I'm like the comic one.
Yeah, you're the funny one.
So I think I was turning that into sort of comedic, I was exaggerating that.
Right.
Which people in comedy often do.
That person said, I don't really like anything you've done. I don't like the comedy. I don't like any of the documentaries. I don't like the books. I like Tim Hinks. Anyway, should I watch Stardust?
That is a good choice you've made. That is finally a good judgment.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, I mean, I know you wouldn't go, I don't think either of us are going around recommending it in the sense that we're saying you must see it. But is it something worth seeing on balance? Or are we saying just don't bother?
Well, someone asked me on Twitter, a Bowie fan said, is it worth it as a, you know, kind of novelty thing, talking point thing, and I said yes, you know, and I think it's a talking point certainly for Bowie fans. And I mean, you know, I've noticed, by the way, that it has got some good reviews. Like, it got 4 stars in the Times.
That's so weird, isn't it?
Well, I think Kevin Mayer, who wrote that review, who's not a bad film critic, started by saying something along the lines of, even though the Bowie, well, this one might be confusing with what Johnny Flynn said, but Johnny Flynn, I think, referred to the Bowie mafia. And I think similarly, Kevin Mayer was like, oh yeah, all these people who, you know, idolise David Bowie will hate this, but forget that. If you can get, you know, it's a good movie. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's a good movie anyway. And I think, you know, Velvet Goldmine is quite a good example of that, because Velvet Goldmine fucks about with the legacy of David Bowie. I know he's called Maxwell Demon and he's not David Bowie, but it is David Bowie, but it completely screws about with it, and it's playful and weird and in its own way very suitable.
You know that thing where in Midsommar Murders, or where they have a rock, we've talked about what they have, a sort of rock star who suddenly is one episode, who's retiring to that, you know, and nearly always is a sort of version of Bowie or somewhere between Bowie and David Essex.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
It's always someone who could have been Alice Cooper, because they always think, oh, we've got to go for Bad Boy. If it's a rock star, they've got to be a sense in which they're a bit evil, a bit of a bad boy, clearly done some drugs, and they're a bit perverse. So they make them look a tiny bit like Alice Cooper.
They definitely do. And they always dress like they're doing an album cover shoot, even when they're going to the post office. But in the way that you just said, I've forgotten the name. It was Maxwell Demon, isn't it? That you said, which is a sort of terrible name for, you know, I mean, and they are always bad names. Would you, if Bowie hadn't have existed, I mean, I know this is a big thing, if they said, and he's called Ziggy Stardust, that would sound just as bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sort of terrible name, isn't it?
Well, possibly David Bowie is as well. I think it's quite, I mean, in terms of the names from the 70s, which were always a little bit, you know, deliberately zany, I think David Bowie is an element of that.
I suppose, although you could say there's a Bowie knife and it's a sort of bit like that and it's sort of grounded in something real, and David's not exactly controversial.
No, that's true. But, you know, Ziggy Stardust and indeed Aladdin Sane are appalling.
They're very clumsy, aren't they? And a bit Midsommar Murders. The other thing is, has anyone ever thought of this? Maybe they have. That the musical you wanted to write about Syd Barrett...
Not a musical, it's an actual biopic.
Actual biopic, the piece you want to write about. There's a thing to be had, because he obviously left the band and was very impoverished. Has anyone ever thought of the phrase, sign on, you crazy diamond? That just occurred to me when you said
it. Can you Google it?
Yeah, I'll Google it, see what it says.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll find it somewhere.
Literally all you get is shine on, you go...
You don't get sign on. There's no sign of sign on.
Telltale thing is, when I put sign on, you crazy diamond, the first thing it says is lyrics. And you're thinking, right, that's obviously not sign on, it's shine on. It doesn't seem to be. So you can have that.
Yes, I can have it for my film.
You can... I mean, if you want to, that could be the title if you really want, but that's more expensive.
Yeah. I think,
don't decide now.
Again, I don't want to let light in on magic, but in conversation with the Pink Floyd guy, he did suggest to me that it would be possibly a long and complicated negotiation, given the state of politics between the various members of Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And were I to come to them and say, and by the way, I want to change the lyrics of one of your greatest songs so they're no longer Shine On, but Sign On, You Crazy Diamond, right. Because Sid almost definitely was signing on after he left.
Yeah, but hang on. It's a good job I'm here. You don't have to say that.
Don't have to say that.
You don't have to change Shine On. Shine On, You Crazy Diamond. Don't worry, David, you can say. David Roger. Gilmore or Roger. I'll be using that. That'll be plastered all over it. Don't worry about that. I'm not. Now, what I'm suggesting is the title of the film is called Sign On, You Crazy Diamond. That's what I'm suggesting.
Right. I don't tell them that until it comes out.
You tell them that, but you say, let me put your mind at rest. There's been some rumours on Reddit saying that I'm going to change Shine On, You Crazy Diamond to Sign On, You Crazy Diamond. I'm not doing that. I'm not touching it. That is a great, great song.
Yeah.
I don't care how much out on a limb I am by saying that. It is a terrific song.
Yeah.
But what I am doing is just changing. I'm just not changing anything. I'm just calling it Sign On, You Crazy Diamond. Are we done? And then you put your hand out to shake.
Right. That's going to work. I think that will that will definitely work. I mean, I don't know if I should mention this, but the only time I have heard a lyric changed to Sign On is when Liverpool play against Chelsea and presumably against other clubs that aren't Liverpool. Right. People sing a version of You'll Never Walk Alone, which has got Sign On, Sign On. You'll never get a job. You'll never get a job. Sign On, Sign On. I acknowledge for anyone listening that that is very stereotypical and unfair to people from Liverpool. But that is the only time that I've heard the lyric Sign On in a song. And that's got bad associations, to be honest.
Well, which is why you shouldn't reference that when you're talking to Roger. Don't mention the Liverpool thing. And if he says, isn't that a bit like... How does he speak?
He speaks, as they all do, in a kind of...
Slightly posh.
RP, 1960s, went to public school way.
Yeah.
But not incredibly posh, but yeah. Posh.
I think you just don't get onto the Liverpool thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, my Morwenna thinks that you're posh. I say you're not. I say I don't think he is posh.
Yeah, I don't think I'm posh. No, I'm not posh. I mean, I'm...
What are you?
Well, how do you define... I went to an entirely state comprehensive school, not selective. It depends how you define it. My mum's a teacher.
But it was in the country.
Yeah, I'm the first to go to university in my family.
Yeah.
But my mum was a teacher. My dad was a civil servant. So in a way, they were sort of public sector. So it's sort of quite lower middle class, isn't it?
Yeah. She's wrong, isn't she? But then she's very... One of the things about Morwenna is she's very working class, but you wouldn't know it because she doesn't sound it. But her dad was a fisherman. I mean, she's like rural working class. So it's not... Like most people I know who are working class, like Frank Skinner, is like really straightforward. Like he worked in a factory and he had an open gas flame in his kitchen. That appeared to be the heating, was an open gas flame. Whereas Morwenna, because she came from a place in Cornwall that was quite rural, it doesn't feel quite the same, but it was.
Yeah, I think I'm posh now because of what I do. Yeah. My grandma was a cleaner in a house, in Downton Abbey. My granddad was the groom.
We've been over this because do you at one point in a podcast about a year ago say that they were in service or something?
Yeah, yeah they were.
Yeah, but I thought you meant that they had servants or something. It was a long conversation. Anyway, I thought you meant that your grandma had servants. Anyway, I feel we're getting off the point. Is there anything else about Stardust? Any small specific details about it that are worth mentioning at this stage?
Well, Stardust obviously to some extent was timed, I presume, with all the anniversary celebrations of Bowie's death and birthday.
Yes.
And I suppose without necessarily going into all of that, because there was a lot of programming on and you and I watched quite a bit of it and decided that we'd probably watched all of it before, even though I thought some of it was new.
Yes. And I was also on that Radio 4 program and you texted me.
You were on the show. I listened to you. Yes, you were actually on the radio. That's right.
It was called, annoyingly, David Bowie Dancing Out in Space. Exactly. And it was a radio. It was quite a good, what I heard of it, certainly my bit, it was good. People talking about David Bowie. I think I was the only one who didn't just say he was amazing.
You were. You said he was completely shit after 1983, basically.
Well, until he got better again.
I'd say somewhere between the two points of view lies the truth, as so often. Yeah. But there's something, as we've said before, although it was fun to see, you know, to like late at night to put on iPlayer and watch him on Top of the Pops, it always is. It's never not going to be interesting doing that.
Not with the covers over your head.
Not with the covers over my head. No, I did that for 7 seconds and found it too stifling. And I spilt my glass of wine.
Yeah.
The thing I was thinking was, it's so nice when it all calms down and people stop talking rubbish about someone you love and worship.
Yes.
Notwithstanding your own interview. You know, you just want everyone to, because they're all getting it mostly wrong and talking about space and his makeup and stuff. And so I was sort of glad when it died down. And I was thinking that one of the earliest memories I have is being in the cinema watching Jungle Book in Horsham Cinema and sort of enjoying it.
Your butler and your servants there.
That's right. They got me an advanced copy. And,
in your own cinema.
And I remember thinking halfway through, oh no, this is a nightmare. What's going to happen next is I'm going to leave the cinema and I guess my parents, because I was pretty young, are going to say, what did you think to the film? I'm going to have to tell them. And I just cannot be, but I just don't want to do that. I just want to enjoy it privately and then just move on with my life. And I feel a bit like that about Birch.
Sorry, so your problem was a kind of weird self-consciousness that you were enjoying it, and then what got in the way of your enjoyment was the fact that you thought you were going to have to talk about your enjoyment of it afterwards to your mum and dad.
Yeah, that they were going to say, what was it about? Because this is in the 70s, so probably Jungle Book was...
I know what it was about, even though it was the 70s.
Well...
It's still about the same thing. It's about a boy who gets lost in the jungle and taken up by animals.
I feel like they'd say, what did you like about it? And I'd have to say, oh, I liked Baloo. Was it Baloo?
Baloo, yes.
The bear.
I liked I'm the King of the Swingers, though, where he danced with the monkeys.
Yeah, and I liked the characterization of Shere Khan. I don't know what I would have said. Yeah. But, and I just didn't want to have to go through it. I just wanted to enjoy it.
How old were you?
Like, I feel like I was probably about 7 or 8 or something.
Right, 7 or 8, and you'd have said, I like the characterization of Shere Khan. God.
I wouldn't have said that. It's true. But I suppose what I mean, I just didn't want to talk about it and have to sort of take a view on it. And I just wanted to enjoy it. And I feel a bit like that about Bowie over the week. I just didn't want to hear everyone talking about it and feel like I've got to contribute with Fred. I just like to enjoy it quietly.
What you're talking about there is when that happened to you in the Jungle Book, not in the Jungle Book, but in Horsham Cinema watching the Jungle Book. Although I'd like to see you as Mowgli running across the jungle, dealing with Shere Khan and Baloo and all those people.
Animals.
You're talking about something very, very profound and also predictive, because it's sort of like, you know, when someone's at a gig, like before the pandemic, and everyone's filming it, and sometimes the person doing the gig says, please put your phones down. I want you to be in the moment. I want you to, you know, just enjoy the song. It's a bit like that, isn't it? It's a bit like people can't be in the moment because they've got to record it. And why are they recording it? To show their friends and to show other people they were there. Right. And in a way, you halfway through the Jungle Book thinking, oh, I have to talk about this to my parents.
Yes.
Is you being taken out of the moment.
It's I was taken out of the moment and like, it's like a job I've got to do as a result of enjoying it. It's like you can enjoy it, but the cost is you're going to have to say that you enjoyed it and say why.
Yeah. It's almost like, and now I have to write an essay. We have actually, I've actually gone to school, a school showing of this, and at the end of it, the teacher's going to say, right, I now want you to write a page and a half about the Jungle Book.
Right.
Yeah.
My auntie Mildred, not Mildred, she's dead now. Auntie, you know the one.
Sylvia. I'm just saying names now.
Maureen. Is it Maureen?
It's a tough one.
Anyway, I think it's Maureen. Maud. Aunt Maud. She was my grandma's, the servants, as we established, sister. She used to send for Christmas all through my childhood and teenage years, 50p for Christmas, right? Like a 50 pence WH Smith voucher. Right,
50p?
So, yeah. So obviously at the beginning that felt quite exciting when you're seven, but when you're 15.
She didn't index link it with inflation.
She didn't index link it to anything. In fact, it sort of virtually became work. Well, this is my point, which is it's a bit like there are some presents you get at Christmas and birthdays, that you think, on balance, given that I've got to write a letter of thanks for it, I'd rather it hadn't have been sent at all.
Yes, my son has made this point, but not on balance. Your point about it being on balance, he hates writing thank you to so much that he has said, I'd rather just have no presents. I hate it so much. It doesn't really matter what the present is. I just hate writing thank you letters.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that if it's a Skeletrix. I don't know. I think there's a... Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a Skeletrix. As we know, that was the great wound of your childhood is you thought it was a Skeletrix and you didn't get it.
Exactly. But from pleasure, like watching the Jungle Book or getting a present, if there's an attached sort of... But in order to enjoy it, you've got to tell your parents about the film or write a letter. You think, oh, maybe I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. That is, in fact, a slightly different thing than you're describing, because I think when I read So like on the day of the Bowie anniversary, there was a huge double page spread in the Times. And I got about a paragraph in. And then what I felt was, yeah, this is what you see all the time, which is obviously all the cliches, but also people kind of co-opting Bowie to whatever they feel is the present moment. So there was a lot of people saying, well, as a person who didn't really know who their gender was in wherever it was in blah, 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 David Bowie was the person who I could look to. And you kind of think like, well, maybe. But
yeah,
I certainly don't think that David himself, even though he was very keen on doing that for his own artistic and indeed commercial reasons, was thinking, I'm reaching out to the people in 1972 who don't really know what their gender is.
Well, as we know, the famous moment, we've discussed it, when he says he's gay, he doesn't actually say he's gay. So it wasn't...
Yeah, but you got a lot of that in this particular one, in this particular anniversary, there's a lot of people essentially trying to make David Bowie more woke than he was before his time, which is, you know, fine. That sort of happens. It's just a further thing of that weird thing you're talking about, which is, no one owns the legacy of someone like David Bowie, but there is a sense in which if you're quite microscopic and specific about someone because you like them very much, you realise that there's all sorts of very complicated and difficult to sum up things about them. And then all you just read are these things where you think like, well, that's someone simplifying it and making it therefore wrong, and it becomes quite painful.
There's also that thing that you read a lot, which is also annoying, where lazy journalists will sort of, I suppose, Google contemporary references to back. So in that phenomenon where people goes it's slightly differently in the Guardian, so they say the top 10 female written songs of all time, number one will be Cardigan by Taylor Swift because it's just been written, and by the way it's a brilliant song, but it's probably not, yeah, but it'll be sort of because it happens to be around just now, or favorite program of all, you know, TV show of all time, and it'll be Tiger King just because everyone, yeah, there's a thing where they go, without Bowie, you wouldn't have had, and it'll go like Robin and Lord or sort of something like sort of what? Yeah. Like sort of maybe that's true, but yeah, it's not. There's a lot of that going on.
No, there is. Okay. There is another film called Stardust, of course. There's that film. There's the one that I mentioned at the start with, you know, that had the Take That hit with it, which just came out in 2007. And then there's, yeah, David Essex film, which is a very good film.
I like that. I think stuff. I mean, one thing we never said is what is it about Stardust? Because you had Alvin Stardust as well.
Well, it's kind of another 70s word, isn't it? It's a sort of glamorous 70s word.
But was Alvin Stardust thinking specifically about Ziggy?
I don't think it'd have been. That's interesting. I'm going to put Alvin Stardust Ziggy into Google. How come he was allowed to use Stardust when surely that had already been claimed by Ziggy?
Also, maybe it's too obvious a question. Was he conscious? Was that the point, that it was a Ziggy reference?
Well, it says on Wikipedia that Alvin Stardust was clearly a reference to Ziggy Stardust, which seems odd to me that he was allowed to do that. Right. And also odd because Alvin was nothing like Ziggy. But I also, having Googled it, on a site called Tapper Talk, which I've never heard of, but there is a whole section, oh, it's David Bowie Wonderworld, called Alvin Stardust versus Ziggy Stardust, which I have to say is a boxing match I'd like to see. Someone says, I love them both. Bowie was the more serious player and has stood the test of time. Alvin was good nonetheless, apparently. And someone else has said, I've got every record that Amos ever made. I don't know who Amos is.
No, that's his real name, isn't it?
Amos?
Isn't that the real name of...
Oh, yes, Amos Braley. Is that his real name?
I think that's possibly true from memory.
Oh, wow. Amos Braley.
But okay. Do you think anyone, in that phrase they just slightly pompously used, that he was the more, Ziggy Stardust Bowie was the more serious player and has lasted longer. Do you think any Alvin fan would say, just hang on a minute?
Just hang on a minute. Let's look at my Cuckoo closely.
That is indeed the common view, but it needs to be challenged.
I started off this podcast, probably the first episode, which is some time ago now, saying that I'm someone who likes to think of myself as having original thought, going against the grain, counterintuitive view. And as such, I am going to say now that I would be very pleased to land on the view that Alvin Stardust was a more permanent character than Ziggy Stardust. To be fair to Amos Braley, it was at least, that's it. Do you know what I mean? He only did Alvin Stardust. That was his whole rock persona. unlike Date, I mean, Ziggy does have the disadvantage that there were a whole host of other characters that could be said to have overshadowed him. Thin White Duke and obviously Halloween Jack and all those, whereas Amos stuck with Alvin.
But I think the counter argument, it's a very strong argument, actually, and very has made me rethink. But
yeah.
You know that thing when you sort of have you support a football team and then someone says, and you sort of know it's true, that, well, we wouldn't take a single player from your team and have them swap them for any of ours. And you think, oh, God, that's probably true. Like, is there a single Alvin Stardust song you would take and put on the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and take something off? I don't think.
My Cuckoo. Okay, so his real name is Bernard William Jewry, spelt Jewry as in Jewry, like the old word for a community of Jews, Jewry. That was his. He was known professionally as Shane Fenton, and there was a band called Shane Fenton and the Fentones, which is, by the way, isn't that terrible? Like, my name is Shane Fenton, or is my stage name. I'm going to call the band the Fentones.
David Bedell and the Bedellos.
Yeah, Tim Hinks and the Hinkettes. I mean, that maybe that works for you.
That's okay.
I like to think of the Hinkettes as quite an attractive bunch of women. But, he then came across... So he was Shane Fenton, and then he did Alvin Stardust, presumably. I mean, what I want to know is, and I can't find that on the internet, did Bowie at any point, and he probably would have bumped into Alvin, just knocking about TV shows in the 70s, say to him, "Oi, you just nicked that. You nicked the word Stardust. That's not allowed." Or was he fine with it?
But I think, I mean, we could ask a lawyer. I think it's absolutely fine that you can't copyright Stardust anymore. You know, it's in films. And so I don't think that would be the issue. I think the issue would be, like, why didn't you come up with your own? Like, it just seems a bit wrong. You based it on a character I'm doing. If Shane Fenton said on an interview with the NME back in 1972, "I guess you want to ask me about my name and who the character is," they're like, "No, not remotely interested."
Yeah.
But it's interesting if he ever, I'm looking now, he's never ever, no one's ever in an interview from what I can see, asked him.
He is dead, Bernard William Jewry. Also, I wonder if he was actually Jewish because he was born in Muswell Hill. But what is really confusing in terms of things eating themselves is that he called himself Alvin Stardust and based the character not really on Ziggy Stardust, but on Vince Taylor, who Ziggy Stardust was slightly based on, according to Wikipedia.
Oh.
You know Vince Taylor, who did My Brand New Cadillac?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Vince Taylor, who was a rock star in the sort of late 50s, early 60s, Bowie says that Ziggy Stardust was slightly based on Vince Taylor. And that's who Alvin Stardust was based on. So it's almost like Alvin thought, he hasn't quite got him right. David hasn't quite got him right. I'll do him much more like Vince would have wanted.
Wow.
Anyway, I think as the last point, I think we should finish by saying, you know, good luck to them. They'll love it if they're listening, that thing. Good luck to the makers of Stardust. And you know, actually, I will say that's one of the things I most hate if you do anything at all. Like, I remember when I did The Infidel, which I would say is a better film than Stardust, but nonetheless, I would say that. Someone did come up to me and say something like, "Well, you know, well done on getting it made. It's a great achievement." And they may as well have just said, "I hated it. It was fucking shit."
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather they said that than "well done on getting it made. It's a great achievement." But to some extent, that is how I feel about Stardust.
No, I think I feel the same. And it's not the worst film that's got David Bowie in it. That's what I would say.
What is?
Well, Just a Gigolo, that's worse.
I haven't actually seen Just a Gigolo.
It's terrible.
Is it?
It's really terrible.
Okay.
But don't you think we should finish by playing out, if you're going to choose one Bowie song that sums up the man, I would say it's his cover of the Yardbirds song.
Yeah, what's it called? Again? You know, in this podcast, we've forgotten the title. It's that relevant to David Bowie.
The centrepiece of pinups.
Oh, it's called I Wish You Would.
I Wish You Would, which says sort of everything about Bowie, what he represents, his different musical styles.
And in many ways, I think it should have been called I Wish You Wouldn't. There we go. It's playing. That'll play us out.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.